Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody jump, 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 jump.
Hi, this is Taz and the Moose with you right here on this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Billy and Mike across the way, other side at the controls, Bogus with your updates as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Taz, what's going on, buddy?
Moose, what's going on? I just a little disturbed. As soon as the show starts, you're doing your beautiful open. Mikey B walks in, he's got like a winter coat on. Like, what happened? Is it cold in there or something? I'm a little confused what's going on.
Yeah, it's like 23 degrees in here. Oh, we have right to warm it up.
Not in here. That's for sure.
No, it's warm in here.
Oh, Lordy B. Yeah.
What's going on, Taz? How you doing,
good,
buddy?
Man. Good, good. Looking forward to this awesome Friday edition of Taz and the Moose coming right at everyone. It's going to be great. We got NFL picks. We got college picks. We got reaction to the game last night. We got a great guest coming up later on. Everything.
Yeah, Mark Richt is going to join us, the former Georgia, former Miami head coach, former offensive coordinator under Bobby Bowden, Florida State. So he'll join us a little later on in the program. Look forward to that conversation. And now currently an analyst on the ACC Network. So he'll join us, and we'll talk a little college football with him. Look forward to that conversation as, you know, we're already a game into week two of the NFL, Taz, as the Buccaneers go down to Tampa Bay, and go down to Carolina, I should say, and knock off the Carolina Panthers. The final score there being 20-14, and a lot of the conversation surrounding the Carolina quarterback, Cam Newton.
Yeah, the play call is kind of crazy. What happened towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter, what was either fourth and one or fourth and two. And this guy is your star player, was always known to be your best player. That might have changed now, and he didn't even get a chance to touch the football when you get a chance to win the game. And instead, they pull a little gadget play, a little gimmicky gadget play. And
right,
McCaffrey.
Direct snap to Christian McCaffrey, yep. and he gets stuffed on the fourth and one play, and pretty much a must-win scenario. Carolina starting the year with the first two games at home, losing last week in a tough loss against the Los Angeles Rams, and then losing in a short work week last night at home to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he gets stopped. And not only just that, but he also didn't necessarily look all that well, too.
Right,
I mean, throwing the football looked highly inaccurate in the pocket, did not look comfortable, does not look like the same player he did, you know, 2-3 years ago, Taz, and that's very concerning when you look at the Carolina Panthers.
I know, it really is, and you nailed it right there. See, his efficiency, he was 25, I'm looking at it right now, 25 of 51, threw for 333 yards, but he was 25 of 51. No interceptions and no touchdowns either, as far as passes. But, yeah, I mean, so who knows if he's healthy, who knows what the deal is with the shoulder, you know. But like you said, it's like, for the team thing, you know, just off of Cam for a second, like 0-2, you lose back-to-back games to start the season at home. That's concerning right there. That's big-time concerning when you have arguably one of the better running backs in the game in McCaffrey. You have a veteran tight end in Olsen who's back in the fold there, and Cam Newton who's always been a great player, great runner, great passer, just a great player, but not the same. It's concerning. If you're a Panthers fan right now, you're definitely worried.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt in terms of the concern level if you're a Carolina Panther fan to where this season could get away and could go awry very, very shortly and very soon. Or it might have gone that way already, Taz. I mean, you know, they Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a large stretch of that game last night basically had the idea of Christian McCaffrey's not going to beat us. We're going to make Cam Newton sit there in the pocket and try and beat us with his arm and his accuracy. And for more often than not, even though he threw for over 300 yards, there were guys that he had that he clearly missed. I mean, it does not bother me. I know it's going to bother a lot of people. I mean, McCaffrey right now, you'd make the argument, is probably their best offensive player. Mm. It does not necessarily bother me that they do the direct snap to him. Now, and we say, all right, well, Cam Newton's 6'5". That's usually his play.
Sure.
You know, usually he's going over the top. Why not do it that way? I can understand that. And I can understand the criticism of the play call of the Carolina Panthers, but for the very fact that they gave the ball to McCaffrey and he's trying to get to the edge there and doesn't get the edge and gets cut off by the defensive back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and gets pushed out of bounds while he's trying to dive for the first down marker, that didn't bother me all that much. But, Taz, I know that it's going to generate all the headlines this morning because of that play call, because Newton is such a big athletic quarterback, and usually that's his play.
You are correct, but there's one thing I want to say, and this is we're going to agree to disagree, because I do have a big problem with running that play there, but you're right about the 6'5" deal with Cam. Usually that's his play to go over the top or maybe off the edge or something. Here's my problem with the play. It's not even that you don't give it to the 6'5" supposed best player on your team and Cam Newton, a guy who's a clutch guy, a guy who's won a lot of games for you, a guy who's a fast, athletic, tough son of a gun and a pro. But I love McCaffrey, okay? He's back deep in a shotgun formation as McCaffrey, getting a snap, fake handoff off the left edge to Curtis Samuel, I think it was. And the problem with this whole play, and then McCaffrey keeps the ball and then he gets stuffed. The problem with the whole play, man, it's like it's 4th and 1, it's 1:28 left, and you're running a gimmicky play that takes too long to develop. So the Buccaneers' defense moves had time to converge in and shut everything down. They put Cam on the right edge, like as a wing back, like as a decoy, as a distraction, like for people to. The Bucs didn't fall for it. The play took too long to develop. North Turner, the OC, dude, that's a bad play call by a veteran OC.
No, that's fair. And Taz, that is fair. Let's hear from the head coach, Ron Rivera, in a little bit of a back and forth on the decision and on that play call. Take a listen.
Well, what we hope to do is, you know, Christian, we felt had a good opportunity to score. And so we went fake reverse, ghost action, trying to, deke him a little bit. And we had every opportunity, and, we thought we could at least get the first down, and unfortunately we didn't.
Is Cam's foot such that you
No, his foot is not such.
Anymore.
We don't trust it. Don't even worry about the foot. The foot's got nothing to do with it, okay?
What's the reasoning, though, between that play that has had statistically the 4th and 1 Cam sneaking, statistically has had such unprecedented success in the league, but now it is not the first option?
Well, because we felt good about the play scoring a touchdown, and unfortunately it didn't work. I mean, that's all I can tell you. We felt good about the play.
Yeah, the issue, though, that you'd have is that there's 1:26, 1:27 left to go in regulation. It was not imperative that you needed to score a touchdown on that very play. Now, you want to tell me it's 4th and 1 from the 2.5-3 yard line and there's 6 seconds to go in regulation, Taz, and you have to score a touchdown in order to win the game, then we're talking about a different scenario, and yeah. I don't think the criticism is coming down on Carolina the way that it is. Now, you have plenty of time at that stage. If you run the quarterback sneak, get the first down to come up, snap the ball, stop the clock with about 50 seconds left to go in regulation, and you're going to have an opportunity inside the 2-yard line with 3 offensive snaps to try and get that touchdown that you're looking at. It was not imperative. That's why I don't love the play call didn't bother me as much as it bothered you. The explanation by Rivera after the game to me made little to no sense.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
I don't need to score a touchdown on that play.
No, you don't.
I need to get a first down.
You got to get a first down. Good point.
That's it.
And that's an extremely valid point. Because the first down line, it's so close. A quarterback sneak is the way to go. No reason to overthink it.
Well, especially with him.
Right.
I mean, there are other quarterbacks,
guy.
Taz, I would not sneak the ball with.
There are
other quarterbacks that are terrible at doing
That's
it.
True.
But he's great. Brady, whenever they do that up in Foxborough, is very good at it.
Yep.
You know, Roethlisberger, even given his size, isn't necessarily all that good at it, not as good and not as proficient as those two. But he is such a good 4th and 1 quarterback sneak. I think that's why everyone was shocked and stunned that they didn't do that.
And to play off your point, which is a very good point, You know, I think a lot, a little bit of a different topic, but same vein. A lot of the newer quarterbacks, maybe in the league a year or two or what have you, they're not used to being under center taking a snap. They're used to shotgun formation spread offenses where a guy like Cam, you know, he's far from a rookie. I think he's a little bit more used to being, like a, you mentioned, a Brady or a Roethlisberger, yeah, taking a regular old school traditional snap.
Correct, yeah.
Then you could quarterback sneak, you're right under the center's butt, boom, you go forward, you get your first down. But I don't know, man. What I said earlier was, like, this thing, this play took too long to develop.
Well, it's fair. You know? I mean, and Taz, there's not a lot of field to work with.
Right.
That's the other aspect you're looking at, too. When you're running that quote-unquote ghost action, which is the fake reverse to Samuel, when, you know, for everyone listening at home. You know, so when you're trying to do the direct snap to McCaffrey, fake reverse, and then for the misdirection to try and get the defense on his heels, Taz, there's not a lot of field to work with. So you're looking at that stage. You got 12 yards. You've got 11 defensive players. You know, there's not enough room to work in order for that misdirection to be able to work, right? The safeties are already up. They understand what the play, the down and distance, then being in a fourth and short situation. So, you know, that's where you look at that play call and you can call it into question as well. I mean, do you have more of an issue, say if they tried to go McCaffrey over the top, do you have more of an issue with the play call or the fact that Cam didn't get it?
Great question. A little bit of both. More of the play call, and then really quick after that, that Cam Newton didn't even touch the football.
Okay, but say if I did a... Say if I
a
did
straight
a,
dive up the middle?
Or like over the top, like Bobby Humphrey used to do.
Yeah,
with
I'm
the,
in.
Or
I'm
like,
in.
You
I'm
know,
in.
Marcus Allen.
Old school,
or,
yeah,
you
over
know,
the top, yeah.
Right, Walter Payton.
With
right
McCaffrey.
The, correct, right.
No
if
doubt.
I if I did that, you know, if I did the fourth and one over the top, you have no issue with that.
Traditional, under the quarterback,
correct,
under the center, means snap, right, right, dive
so
up the middle.
So it's not necessarily just the fact that Cam didn't get the ball, you just hate the play call.
I hate the play call.
I mean, it's fair.
And you know, Moose, I'll tell you what. You know who needs some credit here? It's two guys that you're not going to hear mentioned probably anywhere today. They're going to hear about, oh, my God, Cam's not good anymore. Oh, what? You know, you're here. There's a bad play call and all that. But Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, deserves credit, okay? Because he had
no
a
doubt.
Good game plan. He deserves credit for the Bucs.
Yep.
And the cornerback that stayed home, Vernon Hargraves, he did a great job on this play because when Samuel went back like to take the handoff, he stayed home, Hargraves, and he caused contain and he kept McCaffrey from, you know, going up inside more than he had a spread outside, which shut him down. Hargraves deserves a lot of credit.
Right. As bad as Bowles was as a head coach with the Jets,
horrible,
for the most part, he's a hell of a defensive coordinator and has shown you to be that in a number of different spots in the National Football League, the latest being Tampa Bay. And kind of, you look at that game plan that they laid out in terms of stuffing McCaffrey, and only at 32 yards on the ground. We know what he did offensively the week before, Taz, against the Los Angeles Rams at home down in Carolina, and forced Newton to beat him. Now, I don't know if Newton's 100% healthy. Mm. You know, we know he had the ankle injury, right? He's coming off the shoulder surgery. You know, he's talked about being a vegan and that his body's recovered. Does he look like the same player that he did a couple years ago? To me, watching him, he does not.
Yeah.
But Tampa Bay, in a must-win scenario for themselves on the road after what was a disappointing performance week one against the San Francisco 49ers, they played really well last night. You know, give Bruce Arians and his staff a lot of credit. You mentioned Bowles. I'll give Winston some credit, too.
Yep.
You know, Mr. Pick Six himself, you know, he's kind of at a career point here where he has to either, it's sink or swim time for Jameis Winston. Either he is that guy down in Tampa Bay or he's going to be no team's guy moving forward. So for Winston, he played a winning game last night on the road in Carolina. He didn't throw for 400 yards, nor did he need to. They ran the ball effectively enough with Barber at 82 yards on the ground. You know, it was a kind of a slobber knocker, to steal a John Madden term, kind of a game at times. But Winston played a winning game, and that's what you need to see more from Jameis Winston.
Yeah, he did. And like I said, yes, I'm not a gigantic fan of Jameis Winston,
yeah,
but
he did
play better. No, but you're right, he did play better. The tough thing, though, just to switch real quick back to the Panthers, Moose, you know, now they're 0-2 at home, and now their next two games are on the road. So this is you could sit at, you're playing Arizona and you're playing Houston. I mean, they could be sitting 0-4 before you know it. I mean,
they could. I think they're going to have an opportunity to beat Arizona. Going on the road in Houston is going to be difficult.
That's going to be hard.
Right, yeah. That's going to be hard. But you're right. I mean, you don't – home games you want to win. I mean, the traditional aspect in the NFL is you'd like to go 500 on the road, and you'd like to win, you know, 6 of 8 or 7 of 8 of your home games during the course of the NFL regular season. I mean, if you do that, you know, you're sitting there at anywhere from 10 to 12 victories on the year, and you give yourself an opportunity to make it to the NFL playoffs. That is the goal for every NFL team for the most part. I know everyone tries to win every single week, but the realistic goal. And for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they find a way to win a football game.
Yeah.
And for Bruce Arians, who's a hell of a head coach, you know, a good offensive coordinator as well, he brings in his guy in Bowles to be the defensive coordinator. Their game plan last night was absolutely fantastic. Winston made some big-time throws that he needed to. Taz, he did not throw the ball, you know, 50-plus times. He threw the ball just 25 at 16 completions for a tad over 200 yards and a touchdown. He was efficient and effective enough, and they didn't ask him to do too much. And I think that might be the key for Jameis Winston. I don't know if he's necessarily the guy. You know, when you look at Carolina and that offense, you got McCaffrey, but there's a heavy lean on Cam Newton.
Yeah.
You need Jameis Winston to be efficient, to be good. He doesn't have to be brilliant every single week, Taz, because I think when he gets into those games where you're leaning on him and he's throwing the ball 35 to 45 times in the game, I think more often than not, he's going to make a couple mistakes, and those mistakes will come back and cost you.
Right, absolutely. How about, I don't know if you noticed, man, I watched the beginning game. I missed a little bit of the third quarter, and I watched the end. I got to tell you, it was so clunky. They had lightning delays and rain, weather delays. You know, for this game, the game started, and then they had to stop the game, and then they picked the game back up, and it was, they had, NFL Network, right? And they had camera issues. They had two camera shoot. They kept talking about the camera issues, okay? And they had the Sky Cam was one camera, and then they had like a little, I don't know if it was a handheld or a small tripod shot, and they only had two camera angles for definitely the beginning of the game. They kept bringing attention to it. It was a hard watch. I was thinking, because you and I talk a lot about, you know, it's Thursday Night Football, like, for everybody. And I was thinking of you, because I know you're not, like, over the top crazy about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, Moose must be like, this sucks. Weather delay, camera angles.
It was not a great watch. I don't agree with you. It was not a great watch. And I didn't think that Tampa Bay won a game. I thought at times Taz was pretty ugly.
Yeah, really well to me.
Besides the viewing, besides the cameras and the delay, I'm talking about the quality of play on the field too. I didn't think it was all that great.
Yeah,
but it's interesting. Carolina had, you know, as we talked to London Fletcher and I asked him about the Thursday night game, he said, you know, if you are the visiting team on a short work week, you are at a severe disadvantage going on the road playing Thursday Night Football. Tampa Bay was able to overcome that disadvantage and find a way to win down in Carolina. Let's hear from their head coach, Taz. Here's Bruce Arians talking about his quarterback, Jameis Winston.
He was outstanding. You know, he had a hell of a week as far as mentally getting ready for this ball game. And I think that's the type of game he can play. I think he played that bad last week. You know, he had the one bad play, but tonight he was really spot on.
Yeah, well, that was a pick six to Richard Sherman, by the way, which was the one bad play. How about Winston himself, Taz? Here's his explanation on why the Bucs got the big win last night.
When offensive line domination line of scrimmage, you got a great chance to win. When you run the football effectively, it allows the passing game to open up. And when they try to play too high coverages, it allows the running game to be better. So we definitely dominated the line of scrimmage today.
Well, they certainly did do that, Taz. We spent a lot of time talking about that 4th-and-1 play and the decision by North Turner, Ron Rivera, to do the McCaffrey on the edge after the fake to Curtis Samuel. Here is their star quarterback, Cam Newton, talking about what went wrong last night. Take a listen.
Extremely confident in the play. I've always felt confident in the plays that's called. You know, Norv gives us a great chance, you know, to put us in winning position. It's just up to us as players to execute.
What about the offense and his inability right now to step up? Cuts one or two.
Offensively, we don't hold up our end of the bargain. But needless to say, that's the obvious. You know, it wasn't, you know, we didn't, like I say, we just didn't uphold our end, and we're past due. I'm an extremely brutally honest person, you know, with people, and I'm extremely brutally honest with myself. And it's time for me to look myself in the mirror and, you know, do some real soul searching, because I had opportunities tonight, and I didn't get it done.
No, he did not. He did not.
I respect him for not putting the heat on play call, not even alluding to it. I don't know, man. I respect his accountability. I do. So I don't want to say nothing.
I do respect that.
So I like the player he's always
tough
been.
Tough outfit too. He's wearing after the game.
Yeah, that's his gimmick, man. I understand.
Yeah, but he looked like Mary Poppins. Yeah,
that's his deal.
Getting ready to head out into, like, basically a hurricane.
He's got a barber.
I give him credit.
He's got, like, a little barber shop in his mansion.
I'm sure he does.
He does. It's
great. God bless him.
I saw this thing like on Amazon. Like, it's like Hard Knocks version. And they did it last year on the Panthers. I watched a couple episodes. His house is beautiful, as you can imagine.
I can only imagine.
And he's got a whole barber shop set up where he's got his own guy comes in and cuts his hair in his spot.
That's nice.
It's pretty cool, man. I got to get one of those. That is great. You should get one right here.
That is fantastic.
Haircut, you know?
Do you think Mike Bisceglie could pull off the Cam Newton look after the game last night?
Sunglasses
at the tip of his nose. What is that called? The kerchief around his head.
Durag.
Nah, it was
more
not
of a kerchief, no, right?
It's not a durag.
It's not a durag.
Mike, did the team put it out there, the photo?
Yeah, the team has found videos. The team has yet to find a still shot of it. But
oh, there's
is,
a still.
Yeah, we'll
I,
find
there's
it.
Plenty of still shots all over the place. I don't have it up on my computer right now. I saw it this morning. But because that's, I didn't stay up for the post game.
Right.
I was just curious because it's all, you know, I always loved when he used to wear the foxtail.
Yeah, some crazy hat.
Like, he always had the foxtail hanging out, you know, basically hanging off his rear end. Remember what
he had
that?
Yeah, yes. I think it's great. I think it's funny. I mean, that's his thing, right?
I know it's amazing. Like, look at Cam Newton, what the confidence level you must have to be able to put that look together.
Yeah.
And step up to the podium.
And you don't want it cheap either.
No,
you know
that. That outfit's probably about $12,000.
No, you're right.
I mean, that's not cheap at all.
It would be funny, like every time at a press conference, whatever Cam is wearing.
Not going to the Salvation Army to get that outfit.
No. Well, that's funny you mentioned that because I was going to mention Mike now about Salvation Army. Because what we could do is maybe whatever Cam is wearing in that press conference, Mike, over the next couple days, can grab wherever. Find the type of clothing and wear, like try to look like Cam.
That would be great.
It'd be great if we had video, but we have no video.
Honestly, that would be awesome.
Yeah, we're not video though.
Well, maybe we can have. Maybe someone could shoot it here.
Well,
I guess we'll take some photos of him. No,
yeah.
Video.
Yeah, Bogus.
No.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, ooh, Bogus.
Hello,
he's still with us.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out. If you didn't see it last night, very, very good look by Cam Newton.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But he did hold himself accountable for a bad
performance. No, he did, and you got to give him credit for that.
A tough loss for Carolina. Yes, I do give him credit for that. It's a fascinating look. It's amazing attire.
It was
really
Fox,
is.
By the way. I said NFL Network. I don't know. I thought I felt like I was watching NFL,
but
I heard Joe Buck, so I'm like,
I missed that when you said
nobody
would have made.
You were correcting me.
Correct.
Happens every show.
No, it does not. Not every show.
Every show.
No.
Right. We put together a montage.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Your number to call. It's Taz of the Moose. Your take on what transpired last night in the Thursday night game. Plus, the latest on Antonio Brown in New England. Who knew? What they knew? When they knew it? We'll get into that next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
I found this pen, and it's a Mets pen.
Great.
It's got the W.
You found a pen.
Okay. And it's a WFAN pen. And I don't know whose it is. It's mine now.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah, buddy. This is nice.
But it's broken, right?
There's no clip. And this is broke. And it don't stay down. But otherwise, it's good. You got to write like this.
There you go. Very nice. Right.
Metaphor.
Get a piece of tape.
It's free, bro. You know what I mean?
No doubt. Well, I'm glad you found a pen. Nice pen. Look at that. Maybe that's a sign.
Kicks the week off nice. Maybe it's a sign. There it is.
It's a sign for the weekend.
Kicks the weekend up.
Right. That's
nice.
Exactly right. Taz of the Moose with you. We'll get into the latest and greatest with Antonio Brown. We will do that next. Bogus is in the house. Always good to see his smiling face.
Oh, it's great.
Wow.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the nicest thing you said intro-wise, I think, in 20 months.
That's not true.
Good to see my smiling face.
Yes, it's nice to see a smiley face.
It was. Yes.
What's going on, Andrew?
And it balances out me being sloppy and unprofessional from the beginning of the week.
There it
is. We break
even. How
about
that one? You're sloppy.
Here's your report.
Capitalize the S in sloppy.
Here's your report.
Lowercase U.
Sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 50% or more car insurance.
It feels like seconds ago, Moose was singing you songs. You're a smiling face. Next thing you know, Sloppy Jones.
Setting me up.
All right, well, he did. That's what you do.
So the Panthers' debatable play call on 4th-and-1 from the Bucs 2 in the final minutes last night in Carolina didn't work because of Tampa Bay corner Vernon Hargraves.
As the play developed, McCaffrey faked it. He came right to me. I was just sitting at home. I just stayed at home, and he came right to me. I just had to make the play.
Hargraves says he knew it was coming once Cam Newton motioned to the right. Christian McCaffrey took a direct snap, faked the reverse, then couldn't beat Hargraves to the corner for a first down or a touchdown.
You know, it's funny, in the first segment, Moose, I would talk, I said, you know, you're not going to hear this guy's name anywhere else today, I guarantee you, Moose Hargraves. And then you come in there, and you steals my whole bit. Look at this, unbelievable.
Well, he's doing the updates, just letting everyone know.
All right.
They woke, you know, who made the big defensive play?
Yeah, he made a huge play.
But he does make, here's the interesting thing, if you listen to that, which is, I mean, and teams do tremendous work in terms of video work. You can not only get on the call in terms of slow developing, but when you take Newton out of the backfield, it helps the defense as well because you know McCaffrey is getting the football. So you could go a lot of different ways with that play call, and I know the Carolina's run. I've seen them run that play before in those scenarios inside the 10-yard line, and it's been successful. However, at that stage, with how well that defense had played and how locked in they had been and focused in on McCaffrey, so a number of different ways you can go in terms of not getting Cam the ball, but in the offensive play call, in that situation, you don't need to score. It's 4th-and-1 with a minute 26 seconds to go in regulation. And when you take Newton out of the backfield, you make it easier on the defense, too.
Absolutely. You're putting Newton right there on the right side, off the right tackle's butt, off his hip, in a wing position, like a traditional old-school wingback. And you know that, to your point, Moose, there's no way he's getting the ball. And,
right.
And McCaffrey's further back and not – it's further back than the traditional shotgun. So it's slow developing, and that helps a guy like Hargraves and helps the defense.
You know what? Now I hate the play.
Dude, because you know, when you watch it again, that's why. You're right, but you should hate it.
Like
it's a bad play.
I don't love the play call. I don't mind McCaffrey getting the football, though.
But we talked about over the top would have been better.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are screaming, well, how does Newton not get the football? I get it. McCaffrey, though, is such a special running back. He is. But he is also a smaller running back. We're not looking at a guy that's, you know, John Riggins at 6'2", 6'3", you know, 235. That is not Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, what's his name? The Nigerian Nightmare. I forget his
Christian
name.
Christian Okoye.
Yeah, he was a monster.
Oh, he was a big guy, too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Brandon Jacobs.
I do.
It was terrible on 4th-and-short.
Remember.
But Brandon Jacobs was a big guy.
Oh, who's the kid on the Titans from Alabama? Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry's big.
Good point. Big man Jones. Remember Chuck Muncie?
I do, a long time ago.
You might be the only one here who knows what I'm talking about.
I know Chuck. Well, yes, Chuck Muncie. You know,
yeah,
yes,
played for the Chargers. Yes. He was a big guy. You don't remember him, right, Andrew?
I do not.
Yeah. Mr. Sports Expert Guy. Snarky ass. Yeah, there you go. I schooled you.
Good feel for the history of the game.
Buccaneers escaped rainy Carolina 2014.
Moose is the best, man.
That final defensive stand. They got a Chris Godwin TD catch and a Peyton Barber TD run. They even their record at 1 while the Panthers dropped
ahead,
to 0-2. It's time to be real, says Cam Newton.
I'm an extremely brutally honest person, you know, with people, and I'm extremely brutally honest with myself. And it's time for me to look myself in the mirror and, you know, do some real soul searching because I had opportunities tonight and I didn't get it done.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Newton yet to throw a touchdown this season. He and Ron Rivera say the decision to use McCaffrey on that final play had nothing to do with Cam's recent shoulder or foot issues. The Dolphins have reportedly granted defensive back Minkah Fitzpatrick permission to seek a trade. Fitzpatrick was the 11th pick just back in 2018. He is still expected to play Sunday against the Patriots.
That's tough. Isn't that tough right there? Think about that. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick, he wants out, but yet he's going to play. Imagine if this guy's your teammate, dude.
They all want out.
No, you're right. No, I know, and you're right. We discussed that. But I'm just saying, though, like, for the players that maybe don't want out. Maybe there's some players that are happy there. Maybe there's some players that love living in Miami, love playing for the Dolphins. They feel like they're still they're building up this team. They're trying to they're in a rebuild and all this jazz. I'm just saying, when you go to battle, you're in battle. It's tough for me that you got a guy and a hell of a player, Fitzpatrick. We know that Micah Fitzpatrick is a great D-back. But, like, man, I got to tell you, that's a tough look.
It is, Taz, but the organization's already given up on the team. To me, it's not that tough of a look because the franchise has basically said, we do not care about this season.
Yeah.
So if the organization is get to set the tone that, all right, we're going to trade our best offensive lineman and we're going to think about the future and Fitzpatrick's going to be a quarterback and Stills is gone and there's really nothing about this team that excites you, then as a player then, wouldn't you, if you have any leverage to get out, wouldn't you then try and get out? Because why should I care about a team that doesn't care about winning this year?
I agree with all of that. Just that I'm saying as a teammate, because when it's, I'm not saying Minka Fitzpatrick's not going to give 100%.
No, I get it. There's also guys on that team, Taz, that they've got no other choice.
Right, and I think that's the thing, too. When you talk to the guys who have played the game in the past or now, like, they know the pecking order. Like, they know that he has the ability to ask out because he is who he is. They also know that maybe, as Moose said, that they don't have that ability because they have no standing. And if they were like, trade me, the Dolphins would laugh in their face. So they don't really, which is why it's surprising this summer when guys kind of called out Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
About business, because normally the players
don't
let you handle your own stuff.
You don't talk about
that. I don't know that guy. I mean, maybe a guy's like, dude, just get out of here so I can play. The guy immediately behind him on the depth chart.
I guarantee that guy's
otherwise,
happy about
I don't know that they care that much.
Yeah. No, I'm sure.
Well, and they're probably just jealous that he can get out.
Yeah, right. And the other thing is, to play the point Andrew made, is Elliot down in Dallas, who came out, didn't say which player, but basically said an offensive teammate of mine called me up and said, listen, stay out. Go get your money. Yeah. I mean, and more often than not, that's what players are going to do. They're not going to be like, oh, he's not all in, he's not bothered, because they want, you want to make. I mean, there's not a lot of time in the NFL to make. So, especially at the running back spot.
Real quick, just on these, this Fitzpatrick, Minka, have we ever talked about?
Yes, we have. Okay. We had a great, remember that we had the whole thing, you got
Fitzmagic?
Bothered. No.
That's what I was getting. You stop. You don't even know what I'm saying, bro.
I know what you're saying.
What am I
saying? The connection is real.
I really want to know if you know what I mean, because you're like, yeah, no, we said it.
Fitzmagic.
Yes.
Fitzpatrick.
They're both on the same team.
Yes.
For now.
But hold on. Andrew, please, lay out. Did we discuss this? Did we discuss this when it's that they're both on the same team? Remember the whole Fitzmagic thing?
Yes, I do remember it. Yes. I remember it. Did not go well.
I don't remember that part. I mean, they all go well.
No.
What I'm saying is, it's just they remember the bit, the gimmick they had, and now they're both team.
I do remember it. Don't you remember we talked about on the air?
No, bro, I really don't. Give me a better overview.
Mike,
what happened?
No, we definitely talked about it on the air. I couldn't give you the details now of the points of view, but we definitely at some point talked about those two guys and what had happened with the name.
And now they're on the same team now.
Yeah.
And now Moose and I had a debate over this?
We never discussed.
It's a fun topic.
We never discussed now that they're on
the same team.
We haven't.
Not about the same team. This was not like a couple weeks ago. I'm going back to last year when Minka Fitzpatrick was drafted.
Okay. What I'm talking about is that I think it's funny that they're both on the same team, but yet there was the Fitzmagic thing.
Yes, that's
because you came out and said something about Minka Fitzpatrick, and he should be – I forget what the nickname was, and then I poked fun at you, and then you were like, oh, you don't understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I got hypersensitive?
That's not like a little bit.
That's not like me.
I thought that's what you were referencing. No, but did we talk about Fitzmagic and Fitzpatrick?
That they're on the same team.
We did not.
No. Okay, no problem. Isn't that funny?
No, but we did it. That is funny. You're right about that.
That's it.
But now Fitzpatrick wants away from Fitzmagic.
Magic, there you go. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Andrew, where are you? I can't see. There you go.
No, there you go. Ahead,
he
Andrew.
Did the push away from the mic. Because this is his moment.
Yeah. Well, he left.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Some baseball scores from last night in the American League. The Rays lost in Texas 6-4. The A's won in Houston 3-2. Oakland takes a half-game lead on Tampa Bay for the top wild-card spot. Idle Cleveland is a half-game behind Tampa Bay. And the Yankees are falling apart. Now, they did win twice in Detroit yesterday, 10-4, then 6-4. But Jay Happ, Edwin Encarnacion, and Gary Sanchez all headed back to New York for medical testing. Happ has biceps tendonitis. Encarnacion hurt his left oblique and, once again, a groin issue for Sanchez. They will not be with the team this weekend as they play in Toronto. Guys, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Pep. You think Andrew needs a little more pep?
No, he's good. He finished off strong.
Yeah, you got to, yeah, just always.
The beginning was tough.
Yes. We'll come back. We'll talk a little Antonio Brown. I thought he said he picked it up late. He rallied late. No?
Yeah. Around third, he did.
There you go. Round and third. Finished strong.
Sluggish towards third.
He cut the corner properly.
Hard.
Cut the corner hard.
Great job, buddy!
Right, didn't round the base, cut it hard. Which is important for your young base runner.
Very important.
We'll come back. We'll talk a little Antonio Brown as the birds are chirping on a Friday morning.
I don't know what happened, man.
It's Taz and the Moose here, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. So, as Antonio Brown is working out at, what, the TB12 gym?
Oh, yeah.
And is at practice for the New England Patriots. Is the Pats as big 18.5, 19-point favorites this weekend against the aforementioned Miami Dolphins, which we talked about during Bogus's update, and Minka Fitzpatrick wanting out of South Beach, Taz. Reports have surfaced here about what teams knew when they knew it. Now, the reports are the Raiders and Patriots both did not know that this lawsuit, civil lawsuit, was coming down, right? To Antonio Brown.
Well, we went back and forth trying to figure it out.
Well, you know, speculate.
Now we know. I speculate. Right. That's the better word. You know, so they didn't know. So I don't know. I mean, if you're the Patriots, I mean, I don't know how you don't. Even the Raiders, how do you not look into this? But I guess it's easy to armchair quarterback that. I don't know. I mean, we talked about, you know, we know that there are, you know, security people, like we said the other day on the show here, you know, that work for these NFL teams that are maybe former state police or work for the government or something that work that on the contract to said teams. You know, I know a buddy of mine was a high-end detective here in New York City for the NYPD, and he retired, and he was trying to get that type of job with the Giants, with the New York Giants, and it didn't work out. He was on an interview and then another interview, and then they gave it to another former, you know, police officer. So point is, like, I don't know how they didn't know. I mean, I don't know.
Now, a little bit of a backstory to it, right? So Brown represented his lawyers for both Brown and his former trainer and the accuser, Brittany Taylor.
Taylor, yeah.
Were in discussions over the last few months. They had both sides had agreed that those discussions would remain confidential. Now, those discussions obviously broke down. Taylor filed the civil lawsuit. You know, we mentioned the other day, which I did not know, that civilly, the minimum that you could put down is $75,000. That does not mean that that's all that she is seeking in terms of a settlement.
I see.
But, you know, it could be obviously significantly more than $75,000, but that's the minimum that you have to put down when you're filing. You know, I've never sued anybody civilly, and I've never been sued civilly by anybody, but that's the minimum that you have to put down. So. Right. I did learn that a little bit as I was, you know, playing a lawyer over the last few days. But so they had agreed to a confidentiality agreement or agreed to that those discussions would be confidential. Mm. Now, does that give the Patriots and Raiders a little bit of a lean? Listen, there's a lot of things that remain confidential or are supposed to be confidential that teams are able to find out about or individuals are able to find out about, Taz. And if you're Drew Rosenhaus, with those discussions being confidential, and now, you know, he's not, I don't know if he's a lawyer or he has obviously lawyers working for him, but is that something, as we discussed at the time, you know, do you bring that up into the discussion with the Patriots and being open and honest with the New England Patriots so they're not blindsided at the time, after signing him? Because you could speculate, would the Patriots, if they knew a civil sexual assault lawsuit was coming down, would they be given Antonio Brown $10 million guaranteed? Would Robert Kraft be given Antonio Brown $10 million guaranteed with additional to earn another additional five, so $15 million for 1 year? Would you be doing that?
Right. No, I don't think so.
Now, they did add an extension onto the deal, but the extension is more about trying to create more cap space and taking that guaranteed money and spreading it over 2 years. So yeah. I don't think Antonio Brown's going to see that second-year option that they did add on to the deal. But are you going to be doing that if you're Robert Kraft? Probably not, no?
Yeah, no, you're not. You're not going to if you knew about it. But, you know, I think, you know, listen to everything you just said. You made a couple of really, you know, a lot of good points there. I do think that maybe you got to give, let's forget the Raiders for a minute, the Patriots. Maybe you got to give the Patriots a pass for not knowing because, you know, like you said, the word confidential and these two people and their representatives, for whatever the truth is, they had a confidentiality agreement and then that obviously leaked. That was compromised. So for that, being that there was not a criminal deal filed here by her towards Rip Brown, you know, then maybe that's okay. Maybe you got to give the Patriots a pass for that, for not knowing. You know, because it was a private thing.
Sure. Now, you know? you're right about that, Taz. Now, kind of me saying, all right, looking at it kind of with a little bit of a raised eyebrow. It's interesting that this report comes out that both teams did not know. Mm. You know, the reason why is it provides both teams cover as well. Because if the report comes out that the Patriots knew and gave Antonio Brown the money, It's yet another knock on the NFL and NFL teams in terms of looking at players, in terms of how they treat women and not being concerned. I'm not saying Antonio Brown's guilty, but this is a headache you don't want to deal with. But if they knew about it and still signed him, Taz, it does not make the Patriots look good.
No, of course not.
And if the Raiders knew about it, and Gruden came out because they had, as the report said, they had been in discussion for several weeks, right? Brittany Taylor and Antonio Brown's lawyers. If the Raiders knew about it, and then there's John Gruden on what that Friday before coming out and addressing the media and saying Antonio Brown is going to play Monday night. And if the Raiders knew these discussions were going on and still had no issues in playing Antonio Brown, it does not make the Raiders look good.
No. No, it doesn't.
So it makes both organizations look better that this report comes out that they knew nothing.
Yeah, and that it was just civil. That it was a private thing, and it was the words confidentiality was thrown around there. By the way, side note, just for context, Drew Rosenhaus, lawyer.
Okay.
Went to the University of Miami and then law school at Duke.
All right, so
and
he's graduated, okay.
Duke Law. That's
thank
right,
you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I was not 100%.
My legal team told me.
He's not every agent's a lawyer.
Right, no, I know. I didn't know. I had to look it up
while
he was
speaking. And I did not know if Rosenhaus was a lawyer. But you get what I'm saying in terms of being a little bit of a conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
The Patriots and Raiders look better as an organization that they did not know as compared to if they knew. Because if they knew, it comes across like they didn't care.
Right. True. And in this day and age, that would have shocked all of us. You know what I mean? So, and for the fact of that, again, if two people, there's an issue, and then they keep it confidential, and it's not a criminal deal, she's not filing a criminal report with the police department. How would the Patriots know? How would the Raiders know? They wouldn't unless someone told them, an agent or Brown or whoever, you know?
Right, and well, let me ask you this. Now, is there any kind of wiggle room there for Rosenhaus to give the Patriots a heads up?
Well, yeah, you can.
Well, wink, wink, nod, nod, or in that instance, Taz, because he's not only representing Antonio Brown. He's not a one-trick pony. This is not.
Oh, he's got a lot of people.
He's got a lot of guys that he represents in the NFL, and he's had a lot of guys that have played for the New England Patriots. So if you're the Patriots, are you bothered that Rosenhaus did not give you a heads up about this? And if you are another team, do you now look at it, and does that hurt Drew Rosenhaus moving forward as a player agent in the NFL? I don't know if it does.
Well, I'll give you my opinion. If I was Belichick or Kraft or anybody in that office for the Pats, I would look at him different. I would worry about trusting him because, you know, if he said to them, listen, this is it's a civil thing. We don't know what the truth is, you know, whatever, and it might just end and go away. That's why let's not make a big deal. Maybe that's why he didn't tell the Patriots. You know what I mean? I don't know. I would look at him a little weird. But, you know, put yourself in Rosenhaus's shoes. He's figuring it is private. It's a private matter. And the last thing he needs is to blow up this deal and make it go bad with the Patriots before he signs the contract.
Well, then he's going to lose Antonio Brown.
Right, exactly.
He's going to go someplace else. He's also now, he's now hurt maybe his trust factor with other teams moving forward. Maybe.
Could be. But if he represents great players, don't keep doing business with him.
We'll come back. We'll preview week two of the NFL. Odell Beckham Jr. taking a shot at Greg Williams. We'll get into that next. Taz Moos, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.